Welcome back to the second part of our interview with Eric Margolis, journalist and member of the International Institute of Strategic Studies and a contributing editor to American Conservative magazine. His latest book, American Raj, Liberation or Domination, reflects on what he describes as the conflict between the West and the Muslim world. Thanks for joining us again, Eric. Eric, there is demonstrations across the Arab world enraged about Israeli attacks on Gaza. Many governments have made strong statements. I saw recently even the Prime Minister of Turkey, which has pretty good relations with Israel, condemned the attack. Even Egypt has made statements, but not much else. A lot of rhetoric. And maybe even more than a lot of rhetoric, a lot of cooperation by Egypt in closing down the border with Egypt and Gaza, helping to imprison Gaza, perhaps even helping to get rid of some of the tunnels that are taking in food, medical, and weapons supplies into Gaza. So what do you make of Hamas and Egypt and Hamas and the Arab world?
Well, Egypt's role in this crisis has been particularly deplorable. I can think of much stronger words. In fact, look, Egypt is a dictatorship. It's been ruled by the military dictator, General Hosni Mubarak. It's been in power since he was put into power by the Americans in 1981. And he's still in power. It's a very hardline dictatorship to practice torture and all kinds of repression, though you'd never read about it in the U.S. press.
Now, they're quite concerned about Chavez and having a referendum to get rid of term limits. I have not heard about Mubarak's term limits in the American press.
No, where anybody who sticks up their head in Egypt is arrested and tortured and sodomized. Mubarak now is 81 years old or something, and his day is coming to an end. And the Americans are deeply worried about who's going to replace him. Now, the only opposition that there is in Egypt is the Muslim Brotherhood, which has been very quiescent, nonviolent, old. It's been there since the 1920s or longer. But Hamas in Gaza is a first cousin of the Muslim Brotherhood. And
the Muslim Brotherhood, if I understand correctly, not long ago denounced al-Qaeda-style tactics. Am I correct?
It did indeed. It's denounced all kinds of violence. But that's the old guard in the Brotherhood, Egyptians. Now, Egypt has one-third of all the people in the Arab world, so it's a very important country. And it's the keystone of the U.S. domination of the Arab world. And the U.S. is terribly frightened what's going to happen after Mubarak. There may be a popular revolution, there may be another Nasser, there may be an Islamic revolution. I mean, he's a clone of the Shah of Iran in many ways, not as vainglorious or silly, but he's still there on top of a wobbly throne propped up by the U.S. Now, the reason Egypt kept the Palestinians locked away in their giant open-air prison in Gaza while they were being ruthlessly bombed is the fact that Egypt doesn't want Hamas to come into Egypt and infect its people with the virus of democratic governments. Remember, Hamas is a democratically elected government, the only one in the Arab world. With its anti-corruption campaign, with its call for social services, sharing the wealth, cutting back on armaments, and generally democratizing society. Egypt doesn't want that. It's a corrupt military oligarchy, and the Americans like it that way. They don't want it to change. So, hence, the door is locked in Gaza.
Now, when we see images of Hamas, we see black masks and, you know, bullets up to here and guns, and they look very much like some of the same images we see on television of al-Qaeda fighters training in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and they have a very similar look, which, you know, this extremist terrorist look. Is there any truth to that, and is Egypt, does there any legitimacy to Egypt being concerned about that spreading in Egypt?
Well, they're worried about violent reaction because they had their own groups, Gama al-Islamiyah, for example, where Ayman al-Zawahiri comes from, bin Laden's number two. And there was a very violent and bloody extremist movements in Egypt, which were ruthlessly crushed. And the Egyptians are very...
Movements that were killing tourists and other
That's
people.
Right. They were just blood-stained murderous. And Egypt is very scared about that. But Egypt is also frightened by the fact that, well, now answer your question first. Nobody in the whole world has worse public relations than do the Arabs and the Muslims. They just have an uncanny knack for shooting themselves in both feet, for portraying themselves at their worst. And in this latest crisis over Gaza, the Israelis have brilliantly controlled all the airwaves and all the media and got their message out. Everybody, almost everybody, believes it in North America. And the pathetic Palestinians can't even come up with one decent spokesman who speaks good English and doesn't rant and rave. So they're masters at lousy PR.
But part of the problem in this situation is, how on earth did it benefit Hamas or the people of Gaza to throw a bunch of useless rockets at Israel? I mean, it would have been a hell of a lot more effective to march, you know, 1.5 million people to the border and stand there and say, you know, we demand rights. I mean, that would have been an effective tactic. Throwing a bunch of rockets that drop in people's front yards is not even at a military level of any use.
You're absolutely right.
And they asked for this. You do have to ask. Hamas did ask for this.
Israelis warned them and warned them and warned them, and they knew that Israeli elections were coming, and the Israeli leaders were vying with each other to look who could be tougher.
So did Hamas have any hopes that somehow this would inspire something in the Arab world?
I think they mistakenly thought that they could ride this out like Hezbollah did in Lebanon, and they overestimated their strength and underestimated Israel's response, and thought that because by surviving, they win. If they can keep on and fire an occasional rocket, it shows they're still alive and Israel has not won its victory. But it's a stupid and a counterproductive strategy, firing these rockets. I've written against many times, saying that they should do just what you suggest. But this is the act of desperate people. These are not rational thinking people. This is a prison riot. There's a 1.5 million people cooped up in a tiny little area of land who've been bombed and shot at and shelled, and 70% of their children suffer from malnutrition, according to the UN. This is a prison riot where people are throwing rocks over the prison wall.
So in the next segment of our interview, let's look at what might be the outcome of this attack. Are we going to see just years of this kind of repression and war? Or is there some solution to be found here? Please join us for the next part of our interview with Eric Margolis.